Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, that's actually weekly. Just Ethan and Nick with you this week. No Weiss. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Nick, we've got victories, injuries. We've got beat writer erotica, a la the 50 Shades of Blue. This week had it all. Some good, some bad, and we're here to talk about it. How are you, my friend?
It was really fun actually seeing the first drive juice that everybody gets for their 15 scripted plays work for us. As opposed to, oh God, this is going to be 15 plays to go 70 yards and we're going to settle for a field goal. It was really nice to just watch a scripted offense get to work. And look, if you go and look at Dart's passing map, he's only throwing to one side of the field. He's not throwing it that far down the field. But that's what we prescribed last week. Our message was very simple. Get him the ball, cut the field in half, get the ball out quickly, and when push comes to shove, use your legs. Now, he might die if he continues to play like this, but at the very least, you saw the bones of a functional NFL team yesterday, and that's really all I wanted. The fact they won the game was gravy. I kept waiting for Cameron Dicker to come out and kill us just because that's the nature of how these Giant games have gone the last 5 to 10 years, but that's a really satisfying win. Of course, we'll get to the neighbor's injury. That really takes a lot of the wind out of this, but at the very least, as much as we all want to do the doom and gloom, what does this mean for the big picture, the direction of the team? It's okay to be stupid sometimes and just be happy your football team won on a Sunday, sure. Even if it's not the most pretty, even if there are problems, even if, you know, they probably still are only going to win 5 or 6 games, be happy. Your young quarterback showed a little bit of moxie. He went out not on one decent leg in the second half, gutted it out. They won the game. It's okay to feel good about that, even if the big picture is still not great.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, first drive, nice and scripted, easy. We got to see him use his legs. But that was what today, this is what Sunday was going to be. It was just going to be keep it simple, stupid. They weren't going to try anything outlandish. They weren't going to let Dart, I'll say, beat himself. And you see the way that he is reckless on the ground. They weren't going to let him be reckless through the air, especially against Harbaugh, Jesse Minter, this defense. At home, keep it simple. Don't open up the playbook too much. That's what next week against the Saints is for. Although we'll see without Malik Nabers, but hopefully they'll open it up a little bit more next week. And here's what I love. You love the aura. Sometimes it's all about that. I've been saying this for years. We live in a vibes economy now. Stats don't matter. Numbers don't matter. It's all about how you're feeling personally. And I'll tell you what, Jackson Dart makes me feel pretty damn good. So A+ in that area. 2, the legs. You know, Daniel Jones, he was able to do it, but I don't know. There's just something a little bit different about the play calling and the ground game that Jackson Dart brings to the table. The third and the most important, no turnovers. He didn't beat himself. And the way that I'm choosing to look at this performance is that if what we saw in game one, and I understand simple playbook, Chargers are going cross country for an early game. There's going to be tape on the guy now. Okay, I get it. I understand all the other sides of the argument. But if I'm looking at it just from like a one game sample size perspective, if what we saw on Sunday is the floor, because we didn't see any crazy deep shots other than the free play. We didn't see much of like some wonky playbook stuff other than that inside shuffle pass to Theo Johnson. But if that's the floor for a guy who wasn't supposed to be starting this early, who is not a top 5 pick, you have to be excited. And I'm going to go a little bit off tangent right now because this thought just popped in my head. But I saw this being discussed on Twitter a little bit. I'm curious what you think. We've spoken ad nauseum about how Josh Allen has gotten a number of regimes fired. One, because they're just going for that athletic, super human person, whatever it is, and failing because there's only one Josh Allen. And just regimes trying again and again. Okay, we're going to draft like the freak athlete, not necessarily the best football player, but someone we think we can develop. And then it's, yeah, we're just going to snap our fingers and develop a guy at the hardest position in all of professional sports. It's very rarely going to happen. You know, Dart's athletic, but he's not a freak. He's got a good arm. It's not a rocket. I fear that they're going, if this experiment is a success, I fear we're going to see a lot of GMs try to find their Jackson Dart. Just a guy with, for an NFL QB, above average athleticism, really nice college stats, multi-year starter. And there's only one Jackson Dart, baby, and we got him. I don't know. That may be stupid, but I'm feeling super happy right now. So
what I would say to that, I would go back to, I forget whose show it was on, but Tom Brady was talking about this, the idea that we are making the NFL college football now. The idea that there are guys you take from college that they wouldn't have worked. You know, I still can vividly remember watching the 2000, I think it was 9 or 8 NFL draft, the year Brady Quinn went 22nd overall. And I can vividly remember Mel Kiper saying, this is a pro style quarterback. You don't run the type of offense they ran at Notre Dame without expecting this guy to translate to the next level because he's big. He stands in the pocket. He can process what's in front of him. And that concept, the idea of the pro style quarterback, that doesn't exist anymore. You know, Dart might get under center 20 times the entire season, whereas you think about what they were doing with Russ under center, where because Russ couldn't move, they had to keep the pocket contained and keep him able to do things under center to make the play action a little more dangerous. And I think you will run into stylistic issues the more games of tape you put out there running such a contained offense, especially with no neighbors now. But at the very least, there's a baseline here. And what I would say, and I think we can apply this conversation to CJ Stroud a little bit, who's having a rough go of it so far this year, that style of quarterback, the traditional pocket passer who sits in there, reads what's in front of him, not particularly elusive, you can't add up those designed runs, that is going to be phased out, not by can't work, just because these guys with athleticism give you a floor. We talked about this
right
for years with Justin Fields, with guys like Mitch Trubisky, with Blake Bortles. None of those guys are particularly good, but they're athletic enough that you can do gimmicky things to hang around. It's not a great skill set, but it is enough that this team can hang around. And that's really all you need. That is really all you need when you're talking about just hanging around. I'm not saying good, because like you said, Josh Allen's a different level of athleticism. You know, that's a one-of-one toolbox.
So, Nick, not to interrupt your monologue, but as we're recording, New York Giants have just released a statement from John Mara. I have recently been diagnosed with cancer and have been following the treatment plan recommended by an outstanding team of doctors. I'm feeling strong and optimistic, and I'm committed to seeing this through to a positive outcome. I plan to remain active with the team throughout my treatment, and I'm fortunate to be surrounded by incredible support. Personally, professionally, and medically, I ask that you respect my privacy and my family's privacy at this time. Well, to make a weird Monday even weirder and worse, okay, well, my thoughts are with the Mara family. And not much more to say about that. That's just bad news.
Yeah, it's not great they had to turn the comments off on Instagram, but you know, that's
yeah, that, you know, it's as much as we dislike the guy, it's not great that the very first thought that popped into my head was how egregious the replies and the quote tweets would be on that. And I'm looking at this in Slack right now. I'm not even looking at it on Twitter, so I'm assuming they also turned the Twitter comments off, but
let's be better. Come on.
You're asking a lot. You're asking the guy who ripped from TikTok and quote tweeted a Saddam Hussein MetLife Stadium edit.
I saw it too. It was funny.
It was quite fun.
Those edits are very, very silly. I mean, the amount of James Franklin and Drew Aller ones I saw over the course of the last 48 hours of Saddam edits.
Yeah, preposterous. That guy stinks.
Oh, God. Speaking of guys who are going to get people fired, you take Drew Aller. That's basically like Drew Aller is like a homeless man's Cam Ward. Like Cam Ward, at least he puts a good throw on tape every game. It's like, okay, he's not great, but I see why you would stake your job on that. That guy has a cannon arm and he's a great athlete. I get it. I wouldn't do it. I watched Drew Aller play quarterback and it's like watching Justin Herbert if he had smoked crack before the game.
Yeah.
He just does not see what's in front of him at all, processes things painfully slow. And that's something I'll give them credit for yesterday with Dart. He was really concise. If the play wasn't there, he was out. You know, he had, I want to say, 7 or 8 scrambles. He took a lot of punishment, but he has an understanding. And for right now, I'm good with small victories. I am good with, okay.
Here's another small victory for you. Seamlessly transitioning from John Mara's cancer diagnosis into Drew Aller is what Justin Herbert on crack would be like, back to the good things about Jackson Dart.
Yeah,
they don't teach this in journalism school.
They don't. You're
born with this kind of talent.
This is just years of listening to WFAN as like an impressionable teenager. And by
the way, I tweeted yesterday, someone from the Titans is getting fired.
Yes.
Cam Ward is going to get a regime fired. And I don't understand, like, not to detract from everything, but like, can you reason with me? Can you rationalize this for me? How I'm just a guy. I don't do this professionally. I just watch an ungodly amount of college football. I pay attention to things. The fact that we as a football community just sort of sat there and accepted the fact, oh yeah, Cam Ward's going to go number one overall for months with no pushback. It was just like, oh yeah, he's going number one. Yeah, this guy's the best quarterback in the draft. Listen, my eyes are not perfect, but I feel like I'm watching something different from everyone else. The same with my Shador slander, but at least that turned out to be partially right. The guy went in the 5th round.
Yeah.
I do not understand. I really don't.
So when you're desperate, you make bad decisions. Tennessee
is... And that's fine for the Titans. You're desperate, go make a bad decision. God knows I've done it a million times. I'm sure you've done it a million times. We've all done desperate, miserable things. But it felt like everyone else just sort of went along with it. Like, oh yeah, they're going to take him. That's good.
You need the quarterback. If you don't have the quarterback, you talk yourself. We talk about the draft 2 years ago. Penix and J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix.
Mega ass.
When you need a quarterback, it's the most important position in the sport. It is the hardest position to get right. It is the hardest one to develop. That is why even Crumbs, you know, he only had 20 pass attempts. He didn't pepper the field. Even that feels like a small victory that Dart went out there. And like you said, he didn't lose them the game. He made enough plays. He suffered an injury, gutted it out to come back in. And look, I think we're underselling a little bit just how good the defense was yesterday. Granted, you know, Chargers, 2 backup tackles.
We'll talk about it.
But you gotta beat who's in front of you. And yeah, McConkey has the bad drop. The tackles stink. But at the very least, you won the game. You know, beggars cannot be choosers.
But to their credit, to the Chargers' credit, like, they're a good team. They have objectively, I mean, I'm not going to go through and rank them now. But like, when all's said and done, John Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, who is going to get fired and is maybe the future head coach of the Giants. Jim Harbaugh, maybe one of the greatest coaches of all time when all is said and done, right? Like, even with Joe Alt goes out and you get your backup tackles in the game, like, you expect a level of competency.
You would think, yeah.
No one's stacking up to Joe Alt, but I'm just saying, like, good teams have good depth, and that depth is coached well. We see it every year with the Eagles, right? Like, they're just like, oh yeah, this guy's a 5th round pick and he was drafted last year and he's stepping in, he doesn't allow fucking pressure. So like, Giants defense played well. I'm not even going to discount the tackle situation, but just to put a bow on the Jackson Dart conversation, that 3rd and 1 in the 4th quarter with a hurt hamstring where he bounced off the pile still continued and ran around to the left to get that first down. That's how you win a locker room. Him and Scataboo, those are culture setters. That is like, how many times have we heard management, ownership come out, and when the Giants are bad, they're just like, we want to just get back to old school Giants football. That's what this is. Cam Scataboo busting through a hole to set a block for his quarterback, getting CTE and enjoying it in pass protection. The Giants have Ahmad Bradshaw at the stadium repping a 44 Scataboo jersey. Like, this is, as the children say, and I said earlier, this is aura within the New York Giants organization that we haven't seen or felt since probably Odell. And it is absolutely amazing. And it's so fun. Now, the negatives with Dart. I don't love it when my first round quarterback is throwing, to call it a stiff arm would be an insult to stiff arms.
An attempt at a stiff arm.
He punched a guy. Open face palm to the helmet. And there was a scary moment after that. He was bent over a little bit. And then there is the second half, which I understand, but they had six drives in the second half without Neighbors. We can transition to him now. They punted four times, turned it over on downs, and scored one touchdown, which started at the Chargers' 3-yard line. Their yardage totals for those six drives were 20 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, 21 yards, 45 yards, and 21 yards. Now, playing with a lead, first game for Jackson Dart, I understand the conservatism. No Malik Neighbors, I understand. I'm just saying it's something to look out for.
What I would say to expand on that, and this is something I've talked about a lot over the last 2 years, is once you put something out there, teams start to get an idea. Obviously, the more the Giants play, especially without Neighbors, they're going to have to figure shit out. There's no, well, they don't have Neighbors. We still have another 13 games here to go, and you can't chalk up the next 13 games as, oh, well, but Neighbors isn't there in your evaluation of these things. Functional NFL teams can withstand losses. Yes, he's probably their best offensive player or second best behind Andrew Thomas, who notably played the entire game yesterday, which was very nice as well.
I would, you know what? That's an interesting distinction. I would say that Malik Neighbors is their best offensive player. I would say Andrew Thomas is their most important offensive player.
Entirely fair. Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's the best versus valuable type argument. Right. Yeah, you need those types of things. And look, I don't think, and we can get to this now, I don't think they're going to trade for anybody. They might practice squad snipe somebody.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're where they're at. You know, if they were 2-2 or 3-1, I think it's a different conversation as far as Calvin Ridley or Tyreek Hill or just, you know, a number two somewhere where, okay, you could talk me into that. But sitting here at 1-2, sitting here not feeling 1-3, yeah. Sitting here at 1-3.
1-0.
1-0 this week, yes. That's what matters.
1-0 in the Jackson Dart era. That's all that matters.
Sitting here at 1-3, it is hard for me to envision a world where they're going to trade. And I know the NFL trade market is funky.
That's what I was going to say. It's weird.
You probably could get Tyreek Hill for like a third and a fifth round pick. But then
No, dude. Not with that cap hit next year.
That's true. With the cap hit.
Tyreek is going to be cheap. I know, like you said, not just the trade market's funky. The cap's funky. Like, I don't know what can and can't be restructured, but his cap hit next year is like $58 million.
Yeah. He'll be like one of the highest paid players in football next year. Mm-hmm. It will not cost a lot, but I don't think you're in a position to be leveraging for this year. And it sucks to say that out loud coming off of yesterday's win where we all feel pretty good. But at the same time, you have to maintain the discipline. You cannot look at too rosy-eyed about the possibility of something. As much as I would like them to go out and get somebody, you know, Duggan jokingly said they should go steal Hodgins from the Steelers practice squad. Why not?
Yeah.
Go get a body in here, get another guy into the mix, and I guess we're going to see Jalin Hyatt's going to sink or swim because we need bodies, and I think he's going to sink very badly, but I think for me, and you had said this on Twitter jokingly, I think your answer is the tight end room. Yeah. I think it's one of Johnson or Bellinger doing something of note here and getting a little bit more involved, you know, a little bit more.
What about a little Thomas Fedoni, huh?
at this point, again, when you are desperate the way the Giants are, where they have three number four receivers, basically, between Slayton, Wandale, Hyatt, it's going to be ugly out there trying to manufacture offense, especially considering you only have Dart throwing to one side of the field because everything is RPO quick game stuff. If you're saying, okay, we don't have anyone who's going to be able to get separation on this side of the field, and this is the only side he's going to look at, or we're going to do the opposite. We're going to go 3-by-1 and try and get an isolated matchup on the opposite side. Who's getting open in a one-on-one that's going to draw the other team's best quarter? It's going to get dicey out there really quick. And look, they have the Saints game as not really a tune-up game, but you got to figure out what the offense is going to be without Neighbors. You know, Scadabo getting 25 carries and 3 yards a carry, that works when you're playing with a lead the whole game. But you try and do that in 2 weeks when the Eagles are up 10-3, it's going to be over really quick, and it's going to be hard. Yeah. It's going to be hard to manufacture offense.
I tend to agree. One thing I noticed, they really didn't involve Scadabo in the passing game as much as they did when he came in for Tyrone Tracy the week prior, which I expect and hope to change. But yeah, dude, it's got to be the tight ends. You know, we understand what Slayton's ceiling is at this point. Wandale just feels like 1 week he's going to have one catch for 3 yards, and the next he's going to have 11 for 120 and a touchdown. It's on Kafka. It's really all it is. Scheme. Any other comments on the offense before we move to the other side of the ball?
I would love to see them get the tight ends more in the mix, especially if you're going to have to run more the way they probably will without a great wide receiver to command space. If you can get out there, especially, I would love to see more two running back stuff. I would like to see them have Tracy and Scadabo, or Scadabo and Singletary, using two running back formations, especially if we're going to be going quick game, a lot of one read and get rid of the ball stuff. That helps getting the speed out there. And look, I know Tracy, Singletary, Scadabo, none of them are like burners. No, you don't have an HN out there, but getting the ball out quickly, using those short passes as an extension of the running game, that's viable. That is what good teams do when they can't run the ball. So it is going to be important that they find a way to get the ball out and to use what they do have.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Scadabo, like to call him a plus two player is an insult. He's like a plus five. Like, the dude's just going to fall forward for a first down every single time he's got a little bit of space. So just pepper him.
Yeah.
And he can block too. Like, if you run that two back formation, like you just said, like he could be your fullback for a few different run plays, and then boom, all of a sudden he's out in the flat as a receiver. I don't know.
We will see him. We will see at least, I will say, 3 Cam Scadabo pass attempts where he will throw the ball.
He did that a lot.
He was in high school. He played quarterback, punter, wide receiver, and safety on one team depending on the situation they were in, because he took like 100 something snaps at wide receiver. He played quarterback. So that's in the mix. You will definitely see a Cam Scadabo pass attempt at some point this year.
Yeah, I'd love it.
It'd be nice.
Philly to Jackson Dart.
That's the vision. Yeah. That is the vision.
All right. The defense.
The secondary is an adventure, but the pass rush is gnarly.
Yeah, man, I don't really know what to make of this secondary. I mean, the defense as a whole, let's just talk about this first. They can't fucking tackle.
No. Hampton run was crazy. Hampton run was insane.
Some of the angles that these guys take are absolutely
mind-blowing.
Tyler Newbin, especially. Banks.
That's punt returner Deontay Banks to you.
The New York Giants have a Deontay Banks problem, and it is entirely self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand why he's on the field. I really don't. The effort on that Quentin Johnson touchdown.
Not great.
I think it's now back-to-back weeks with tackling angle issues. When you're a first-round DB that's been relegated to kickoff duty, not looking good, Chief.
No.
So, I don't know. I think it's just something we're going to have to live with all season.
And there's not really a great answer either, because, like, these are the guys they have. Like, there's nothing else to say about it. There's no manufacturing. Like, yes, I understand this defense is predicated on pass rush bailing them out. That is the MO here. but you do need to be able to tackle. Like, it's not, it's one thing that they can't cover. Like,
that's the fundamentals.
I kind of expected they wouldn't be able to cover just based on the way defense has gone for the Giants the last few years. But a day like yesterday where the pass rush was actively good, where they took advantage of what was in front of them, you can see how they can hang around. And again, that's all they're trying to do this year is hang around in these games, try and drag some of these teams that are better than them into the deep water and hope you strangle them. Hope you sneak up on them. You know, yesterday you had three turnovers. You had one turnover through the first three games. Yesterday you had three. That's the type of variance and luck you get the benefit of when you hang around in these games. The Chargers are a good football team. Do not get it twisted. Even with the way they played yesterday, where they were pretty unimpressive, that's a good football team. The Giants pass rush was really dominant yesterday. Dex getting a pick. That's something you're not getting all the time. But when you hang around, when you make good plays, you know, that cliche you got told as a kid growing up, you know, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. You put yourself in a good position enough times, good shit will eventually happen. And at least in the case of the pass rush, that was the case yesterday. A dominant performance yesterday.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, that's the formula. You have a rookie quarterback. And a lot of these times where we see teams that I'll say are in fortunate situations to start their rookie quarterbacks, it's when they have not necessarily a ton of weapons on the offensive side, the opposite. When they have a dominant defense that they can rely on to keep them in these games to withstand the rookie growing pains. Now, the rookie growing pains were not on maximum display yesterday because there were no turnovers. There were still a good amount of misreads and all that. But like you said, the defense just has to keep them in the games. And credit to Joe Shane. He's put together a dominant pass rush. I don't know what Kayvon Thibodeau did in the offseason. This is a different human being than we've watched the last 2 years. He has been outstanding. And I hope that he keeps this up, because by the end of the season, I'm going to owe him a big apology. Now, not to steal your thunder, but I have some of these numbers pulled up in front of me. Pressures through four games: Abdul Carter 19, Brian Burns 18, Kayvon 17. That would be a 17 game pace. Carter 80, Burns 76, Kayvon 72. All of those would have been top six in the NFL in 2024. The Giants have all three of them on their defensive line. Against the Chargers alone, Abdul Carter, 5 quarterback hits, 3 pressures, insane. Brian Burns, 1 sack, 3 quarterback hits, 3 pressures. Kayvon, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits, 2 pressures. Through 4 games, Brian Burns has 5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 11 pressures. Abdul Carter, 0.5 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 11 pressures. Kayvon, 2.5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 9 pressures. Burns and Kayvon are on pace for career years. Would not be at all shocking if by the end of the year, the Giants had 4 different defensive linemen with double digit sacks. And I understand Dex is off to a slower start and he's dealing with the double teams. But I mean, we've seen there can be games where he just bursts through. And I guess when that elbow is finally healthier, he's finally conditioned enough. I mean, there could be games where we see like multi-sack games out of him. We saw it last year before the injury. So that's why I say 4. Abdul Carter is fucking unbelievable.
Crazy what happens when you let a pass rusher rush the passer.
Nuts.
Instead of playing inside linebacker. And like, to his credit, the Giants have jerked him around for 4 weeks and he's finally starting to get a handle on what he needs to do. I mean, he's lined up at stand-up linebacker. He's lined up at defensive tackle. He's been a hand in the dirt pass rusher. He's been a standing pass rusher, and he has slowly but surely gotten his feet under him. And yesterday, that's why you take that guy where you did. You know, I wouldn't say shocked he fell to the Giants, but it was a pleasant surprise that a player that good, and I thought Carter was the best player in the draft this past spring. Good things don't happen to the Giants all that often.
No.
Getting a guy who looks like a guy this fast,
you think if the Jags had a do-over?
Yeah. Not taking Aiden Hutchinson was crazy. Like, I get it. Traits.
No, I'm talking
Oh, you're talking Travis versus Travis. Abdul Carter. Yeah. They don't know what to do with Travis Hunter, which doesn't help. They have really not put him in a position to succeed. But Carter's very fun. Kayvon taking it personally. They drafted another pass rusher.
Yeah.
That has made a difference. And Burns looks like a guy. He looks like what he's been. Burns has been a really good football player in the league for a while now.
He's a freak.
He's just he's not by himself anymore. You know, that's the beauty of this is you have four bona fide monster pass rushers, and all you need is your linebackers, corners, and safeties to not get you killed.
Learn how to
That's
tackle.
Really all they're asking.
Yeah.
Tackle, not even play good coverage, just tackle. That's really all they're asking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a luxury. It really is. It's been a long time since the Giants have had luxuries, and having four guys who can rush the passer, genuinely rush the passer, it's unbelievable. And, you know, throughout the course of the year, we're going to see them, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, that these guys all, of course, I set my dog off, you know, these guys all stay healthy, because we know, and we just saw this past week, not every offensive line is going to be healthy. And it's going to be just absolute terror having to go against these four guys. So hats off to them. Hats off to Joe Shane for putting that together. Just awesome stuff. I don't know what else to discuss unless you want to fast forward to the Saints game a little bit, because I am nervous.
The one last thing I will say, it was nice not being worried about Graham Gano yesterday. It was nice not being worried about the kicker being injured and not being able to kick. Like, that's a very low bar, but again, these have been operational issues for years. It was nice to feel good about the kicking situation yesterday. I think their special teams definitely still have work to do. I'm getting tired of watching every other team in the NFL get two or three kicks per game. They run back to the 40, and the Giants don't do that. That is something that, especially going forward, now that this kickoff rule looks to be working, I think that is something we can actually address, is getting the special teams better. And I'm not saying they need to be great, but it'd be nice to have an actual short field every now and then.
Yeah. Jamie Gillen, I think, won them the game.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of noticed it in real time, and there were just so many good things about yesterday that went underappreciated. That punt from the end zone, that was nuts. I turned to my friend when they couldn't get that first down. I said, this is it. Like, it, you know, Chargers are going to get the ball at the 40, and that's going to be the game. The Giants can't climb out of this hole. And he bombed it. It was amazing. How do you pronounce the new kicker's name? McAdamy? McAdamny?
I believe so, yes.
The Irish guy getting a shot on Ireland Day in the NFL.
Yeah.
With the Steelers and the Vikings. That was a great game.
That was fun.
The Cowboys game was fucking crazy.
We're getting something's in the water these first
two. Dude, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I feel like at this point during the season, we're already complaining about some of these primetime games. Like, you know, we're getting Jags Titans Thursday night where the score is 12-7 kind of games. I feel like has there been like one bad game? I think there's been one
prime time window. I don't think so. I think everything has been relatively
like Viking. Even Vikings Bears was shaping up to be disaster, and then that game McCarthy turned out to be going. Amazing.
Yeah, that was good. Bills Ravens was great week one.
Yeah,
we've had a really good pocket of games so far, and it feels like at least. And it's weird because usually it feels like September we're bitching that every team looks terrible, that nobody looks like they played any preseason games, that the operations are bad, that the offenses are behind the defenses, and everyone's kind of come out of the gate firing. I mean, Green Bay and Dallas both put up 40 last night. We've seen pretty good performances out of Buffalo as well. So it feels kind of out of the norm for offenses to be moving this well this early.
Yeah.
Oh, and then real quick, as far as looking ahead to the Saints game next weekend, we are not in a position to be good enough to be looking ahead to the Eagles, Denver, San Francisco.
No. I'm focused on the Saints.
Please do not kill all of the goodwill you just generated by winning that game against a good Chargers team by losing to a dog shit Saints team. The Saints are an atrocity. Every single time they get cut to on red zone, they have four number three wide receivers and Juwan Johnson running around out there. Whichever quarterback happens to be taking the snap on that specific play between Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck, it is just nasty. They have Spencer Rattler dropping back like 45 times a game.
It's a Kellen Moore offense. It's quick. It's real quick. I'm still nervous.
Oh, of course I'm nervous.
Very.
The Giants never win in New Orleans.
No. Kellen Moore is a good coach.
I don't know.
Kellen Moore is a very good offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And I don't know. Didn't the Saints cover yesterday? I don't even know. They were like 15 point dogs. Ugh. I saw that it was 31-19 at some point, but I don't know what the final score was. But you know what they say, good teams win, great teams cover. So
correct.
That's all I got. Just we didn't talk about Neighbors really.
Yeah.
We like touched on it at various points. Odell calling it Death Life Stadium. I think there's something there. It pains me to admit that I believe the numbers don't show that actually to be the case. It's just the Giants having the shittiest luck of all time.
I mean, all of the guys they've drafted, wide receiver or tight end, in the last like 5-10 years have torn their ACL.
Yes.
Like, all of them. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And a number of players have complained, both on and off the Giants, about the turf. So much so that, who was it? David Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
Even had to release a statement for the NFLPA about how shitty turf is. Maybe you have a better understanding of this than me, because this is not, you know, I don't even, it was agriculture.
You're not maintaining a lot of turf.
No, I'm maintaining a very decent looking front yard. I understand the whole, you know, we got to do concerts, we got to do Monster Jam and WWE, and it's got to be easy to do the on and the off, and we don't want to damage the grass. But like, it's 2025. These teams are worth billions of dollars. Pretty unanimously, all of the players want grass. I'm pretty sure the Bills' new stadium is going to be grass.
Yeah.
From the interview I saw with Josh Allen. It can't be that big of a financial burden on the billionaire owners.
No. And what I would say is the Raiders, and I think I want to say Arizona, have basically what's effectively a retractable grass system for exactly what you're talking about, where they do concerts and other events there, and the grass gets retracted and then it gets put back out whenever it's over.
Right.
Like, and I understand it's work, it's upkeep, and, you know, MetLife won't even open all the concession stands on the upper level most games because they don't feel the need to. But you're hurting your own investments here. Like, Malik Neighbors is arguably your most marketable player, like your best player, your most important player. And now he's just not going to be on the team the rest of the year because of something that was avoidable. That feels crazy to me. You know, it feels like when we were talking about hockey without helmets. What do you mean you don't want your millionaire athletes to not wear helmets? Why wouldn't you be taking every step you can to protect them from things that are avoidable? There are always going to be injuries. Football is ridiculously violent. It is ridiculously dangerous. At the same time, this is avoidable. This is not a concussion getting tackled running up the middle or going over the middle on a slant. This is entirely avoidable, and it's crazy to me that, you know, it's the same argument we have to a lesser extent. You know, how come the Yankees and Mets don't have roofs on their stadiums? Same type of deal. Like, this is so obviously just a money thing as opposed to right. like a reason thing. At a certain point, you know, the Giants are worth, what, $10 billion?
You just got 10. Wait, how much money do they just get from the Koch family?
Yeah, a couple hundred million. Like,
okay, go put fucking sod in. Like,
yeah, it would be nice. You can't keep doing this. I think about that one game the Jets and the Niners had a couple years ago where everybody in that game tore their ACL, where Garoppolo, Nick Bosa, and two guys on the Jets tore their ACL. Speaking of Nick Bosa, that's two ACLs for him now. That's rough. He's not that old either. But the last thing I wanted to say on the grass, please do better. Like, this is so easy. It like, really you and is. The Jets could split it, too.
And it doesn't make sense. Like, from a financial perspective, okay, it costs more money, and there's more money for the upkeep, but you want to protect the $100 million investments that you have on the football field.
Yep.
Like, what's the NFL salary cap right now? 250?
Something like that. It's 250, 260, somewhere in there.
All right. Like, what kind of contract was Malik Neighbors going to get? What is Jackson Dart's second contract going to look like? Like, protect them.
It sucks. It really does suck.
You don't go buy a Lamborghini and then leave it parked in the hood with the key on the hood of the car.
That's an interesting comparison for playing on turf, because it sucks. It's so stupid. It's avoidable.
Put it in a garage. Lock the door. I think this is actually a perfectly fine analogy. Like, you have a super expensive asset, and you are willingly putting it in danger when you can just snap your face. Literally, like, I am the owner. I am making this decision. I am putting grass on the field.
It sucks.
No one's going to stop you.
As somebody who has neighbors in like three different fantasy leagues, I'm very upset.
Same.
I'm very upset.
All right. It's one of many reasons it's going to cost me the week, but
yeah,
you know, I need Cortland Sutton to get concussed or something. That's really my only hope. or I need Bo Nix to Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right, let's wrap up.
Yeah, before I say something else stupid. All right, follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at Nick Zeraris, Weiss at NYG Daily. Subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys after the Saints game.